from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, we bring you the latest from a former president who visited the state over the weekend, a look at one newspaper celebrating 150 years, data centers, and even more. It's Monday, June 8th. Here are today's stories. A former president brings a few protests, along with a combination of renewed hope and questions from South Dakota's minority party. South Dakota's Democratic Party hopes to ride a national wave of blue, flipping red seats. Outside of the Best Western Plus in Sioux Falls, there's a handful of protesters. In fact, there's protesters on both sides of the aisle, protesting completely different sides of a single presidency. Joe Biden's. Biden visited Sioux Falls as the keynote speaker of the Democratic Party's McGovern Day Dinner, a fundraiser for the state party. It's named after former South Dakota congressman and the 1972 Democratic presidential nominee, George McGovern. Biden's appearance helped the state Democratic Party in its fundraising efforts. Party officials said the event raised over $275,000. Despite that, the former president's appearance didn't come without some criticism. Across both the street and the political aisle, the chair of the Bonham County Republicans is protesting alone. Stu Swirk took the opportunity to throw jabs at his political opponents, holding a sign that says, "Worst ever." It also has a picture of a pen, which he told SDPB stands for the auto pen.
For that guy to come here to South Dakota, which is one of the reddest states in the union, there needed to be at least a minimal protest. And of course, the Democrat Party in this state is so teensy and it doesn't really impact anything that, you know, sending one guy here to protest is probably the right way to do it. You don't need a bunch of guys here. And we do it peacefully on public property, so we're not violating laws. You know, this is a peaceful protest. It's just got one guy and a sign, so that's the right way to do it.
There were a few Democrats protesting as well. Robert Arnold attempted to run as a Democrat for governor, but failed to get on the primary ballot. He's one of four protesting Biden's appearance, largely due to the president's support of Israel. He believes it could have a negative effect on local elections for the party.
Inviting an establishment Democrat who never actually accomplished a lot for the people and is incredibly unpopular negatively affects our down-ticket races. And I think across the state, we're going to have a lot of more trouble trying to get people elected because they're going to be tied to Joe Biden and they don't have a lot of resources to break away from that.
In fact, Biden endorsed Democrats vying for U.S. Senate, House, and the state governor seat on Friday. On the inside of the Best Western, Biden sends a call to action to a party in need of hope. South Dakota's Democratic Party holds 8 of 105 seats in the state legislature. The party hasn't held a statewide office since U.S. Senator Tim Johnson in 2015. While Biden largely spent time discussing President Donald Trump and national issues, he tells the crowd of over 1,200 it's time to get up. He tells the crowd there's an answer to rising gas and fertilizer prices. Quote, "Vote Democrat." He says that if Democrats in the state are feeling disheartened, quote, "there's no time to give up, it's time to get up." Recording of the speech was not allowed. The Democrats present largely told SDPB they enjoyed the speech and energy. The party has been creating a state-level brand as South Dakota Democrats. People said they don't worry bringing Biden could tie the national brand to candidates. Frank Klocek was a 22-year elected Democrat in the state legislature. He says bringing a former president to the state, the first one to come to South Dakota since 2020, enhances the party's visibility.
It helps the Democratic Party with fundraising, with recognition, with donors from other states, and most of all, it helps for integrity. Because you look at what Joe Biden did and what he tried to do to make America better compared to what's going on now, there's just no comparison. And Joe is a plus all the way around.
Klocek says people may not agree with Biden on every issue, saying he himself doesn't, but it's about putting together the common good for Americans. Another former state lawmaker pointed to so-called wins Biden secured for South Dakota. Reynold Nessaba responds to a question if he thinks bringing the national brand to the state could hurt candidates in November.
I think the Biden administration was really great for South Dakota.
He pointed to federal funding during the Biden administration that gave the state money to build a state science lab, new Lincoln Hall at Northern University, and support water and wastewater infrastructure. Nessaba also leaned on Biden's message to the crowd.
The things that he talked about tonight, trying to get back to normalcy. I mean, the Democratic Party is on the rise across the country, and we're going to pick up seats here in South Dakota in this election as well.
As of April, Democrats had candidates running in 46 of the state's 105 seats in the state legislature. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. The Black Hills Pioneer is celebrating 150 years of storytelling this week. The paper says it's the oldest continuously operating business in the West River Dakota Territory. Its first edition was published on June 8th of 1876. Delaney LaHood Burns reports.
The first edition of the Black Hills Pioneer was published by A.W. Merrick and W.A. Laughlin in Deadwood, shortly after the lead gold strike. Merrick and Laughlin traveled nearly 400 miles with a press and printing supplies from Denver to the Southern Hills, and then eventually to Deadwood, following word of the Black Hills gold rush. Mark Watson is the editor of the Black Hills Pioneer. He's been at the paper for 21 years and says its focus on hyper-local news has been a key part of its success over all this time.
There are a ton of different media outlets, from radio to TV, to different newspapers who can tell stories around the state, the region, and the country. But what they cannot do is tell the story of the Northern Black Hills, and that's where we really focus the vast majority of our efforts. Nobody can tell the story of the Northern Black Hills better than we can.
As the Black Hills Pioneer has evolved over the past 150 years, it's become one of the largest newsrooms in South Dakota. It also operates a press room in Spearfish that supports 10 other regional publishers. The paper made an effort to become a printing hub about 20 years ago, after witnessing other small press rooms disappear. Letty Lister is the publisher at the Black Hills Pioneer. She says with 200 news deserts around the U.S., providing a local, affordable, and high-quality printing source not only helps the Black Hills Pioneer, but also prevents other communities in the region from losing their local newspaper.
The fact that we've been able to keep a daily paper here in this community is no small feat. We've lost over 3,500 newspapers in the United States since 2005. In South Dakota alone, we've lost 33 newspapers across the state. We are determined that we won't be one of those statistics.
Lister says in addition to being nimble and adaptive, the reason the Black Hills Pioneer has reached its 150-year milestone is ultimately thanks to the engagement and support of the local community. I'm SDPB's Delaney LaHood Burns.
Data centers and their place in the state are the latest in a long line of landowner battles fought in peer committee rooms. For Creighton University economist Ernie Goss, who researches the region, they represent a mixed bag.
It does bring jobs and high-paying jobs, but unfortunately not a lot of jobs. On the flip side, it does tend to increase electricity prices and in high water usage, which is obviously not good for this part of the country. We're always looking for water. And that's true for all the states, most of all the states that we serve. And what it does, of course, is it brings along other industries that may take advantage of the data centers. But overall, there are some real questions about data centers.
While data centers bring both professional and blue-collar jobs, balking at them means avoiding both the negatives and positives associated with them. Goss says either way, there's a cost to doing business.
You're looking for adding employment, adding output, and this certainly adds investment to the state. You get investment there, the building of the data center that contributes to the economy. Artificial intelligence is making use of these data centers. So some of that is very supportive of the overall economy, but there are some costs associated with it.
Data centers will almost certainly continue to be a legislative battle in the 2027 session. Rapid City officials cut water flows from Pactola Reservoir by about 10 cubic feet per second. This is to maintain requirements to supply downstream water rights. It comes amid a regional drought and a request from the Bureau of Reclamation. Meanwhile, West River drought conditions have led to the cancellation of fire hydrant parties in Rapid City, which are operated by the RCFD and the City Parks Department. Water flow from Pactola in the last few months has fluctuated, peaking at 56 CFS and is now at the lowest flow rate of the year. After the primary election, 7 recounts are possible in state legislative races. However, only one candidate's considering the option. South Dakota law states losing candidates can request a recount if they're within 2 percentage points of the winner. Tony Kaiser is a state representative in District 14. He lost to Tyler Tordson by 52 votes. In the 2024 primary election, Kaiser ousted Tordson. South Dakota Searchlight reports Kaiser is considering going through with the petitioning process, but is still undecided. No other candidates within the recount threshold are planning on requesting one. The deadline to request a recount is June 12th. The Department of Transportation is holding a public information meeting to discuss a major project in the northern Black Hills. It's focused on the reconstruction project of Exit 10 on Interstate 90 at Spearfish. The meeting is designed to allow the contractor to explain traffic flow and other project details with residents and businesses who will be impacted. The meeting is June 18th at Hudson Hall in Spearfish. The project is set to begin June 22nd. The new Sturgis mayor is set to take the reins of the city following years of instability at the position. Businessman Rod Bradley won the city's mayoral race with nearly 58% of the vote. Bradley is the city's fourth mayor since 2024. Council President Tony Dargatz served in the role since former Mayor Kevin Forrester resigned in March due to health concerns. Forrester had the role since October of 2024 when Mayor Angela Wilkerson abruptly resigned, citing a toxic work environment. The Black Hills Pioneer reports Bradley says his first order of business is connecting with city council and staff. The South Dakota Arts Council is awarding grants to fund community-based arts and cultural initiatives across the state. Out of 31 applicants, 6 received a $5,000 grant. These grants will support a variety of events in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States. The council says the projects aim to foster community engagement and increase public access to arts and culture. The Washington Pavilion is a grant receiver. They plan to host several free public concerts in July featuring the Sioux Falls Municipal Band. Another grant recipient is the Dakota Prairie Museum in Aberdeen. During the Brown County Fair, they'll hold a free public art competition focused on American and local history. The full list of grant recipients and their projects can be found on sdpb.org/news. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.